Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Guest Thursday. And this is part two sharing the story of our good friend, Catherine Cornell. She's the daughter of Scott and Kristen last week. And you need to go back and listen to how God led her through her school and her master's program at Liberty to join Kristen, another lady, with starting a school in New Hampshire there. And it's been a fun thing and part of it. And it's been exciting to see you get there and start to express it. But we know that during this last year that God was leading you to a new adventure. So walk us through, how did that start, what you did to discover God's will, and then we'll explore, you know, what that looks like. So we'd love to hear that piece of the story.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I was teaching my literature courses particularly, I started just having a lot of ideas about integrating philosophy with literature. And part of that was I had taken a philosophy class when I was in high school. I did a dual credit course on philosophy. It was really short, but my main takeaway from that was I really feel like everybody should study this in high school. Because as a homeschool student, I'd been in Christian schools and in youth group. I'd done a lot of worldview classes before, but a lot of them focused on different religions in the world, which is fantastic. But what I found in philosophy is you learn a lot about different secular modes of thought. So it's kind of like worldview, except with the secular world, which a lot of us, particularly in the Western world, encounter more of. And so it was just really enlightening for me to be like, okay, this is where these ideas come from. And it helps to, helped me anyway, to distinguish between what is coming from the Bible and what is coming from this other mode of thought that maybe sounds good, maybe is similar, but really is not lined up with what Christ says. So that was years and years ago. And then as I was doing my master's degree, I took a literary criticism class, which is basically worldview and how that plays into literary criticism and the different angles that people are coming from to study literature, but also within literature itself. Again, I was like, this is really important. And we don't ever talk about this until you get into like a collegiate level studies in literature. And part of that is because it's kind of inaccessible, really heady, and it's difficult for kids to understand. But I was just starting to think through my own literature class and thinking through, like, how could I integrate this? Because I do think that literature is a way to see worldview and to see philosophy play out. And so you can kind of step into that a little bit easier than just sitting down and reading a philosophy book. And so as I was thinking about doing this, I was like, well, I'm gonna start a course. I'm gonna do a bunch of reading and things like that for philosophy. And by a course, I meant I was thinking about teaching a course. And so just integrating those two things together. And as I was sitting down this past summer preparing for my course that I was planning to teach in the fall, which didn't end up happening, which is, I think, a good thing. I was supposed to be teaching a course. We only had one kid sign up. And so she and I will meet and have like one-on-one discussions about philosophy and things like that, but it's not a full course, which I think is for the best. But as I was sitting down at the beginning of last summer, starting to think about it, I just really felt like God was saying, you know, you should look into just studying this. You could find another online degree and continue the same kinds of studies that you're doing now, but do that for philosophy, and it'll just give you a better foundation. Because that has been my experience in both degrees that I've pursued, is I've just been given a really solid foundation in studies that I've undertaken. And so I was like, well, maybe I should just start looking into that. So I start looking into that, and there's not really a lot of options for philosophy as an online degree, but that was just kind of where I started, because I was like, I'm at home, I'm doing all of this incredible work that I really love. So that's what I was looking for. And so as I started looking for an online program, I found a couple of them, and I was looking at them. I was like, well, how does this compare to an in-person program? Because I was looking at them, I'm like, this isn't maybe quite what I was looking for. Like, it would probably work, but I don't know that it's quite what I'm looking for, quite doing what I want it to do. Because you get into philosophy studies, especially at the master's level, and it's all over the map. You know, you could be doing like the philosophy of science, the philosophy of health, or looking at philosophy as it applies to different things, as opposed to just studying the history of philosophy, which is really what I was looking for. So I was struggling to find a program that did that. And so I was like, well, what if I just compare that to some in-person programs? So I started looking at those and was led to a program in the UK, actually. So I was looking at that program. I was like, this looks fantastic. And so I was starting to think about that. I was like, well, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm supposed to, like, I'm not, well, I didn't think that I wanted to go and do a degree in person because I've got so many good things going on here. But as I started to sit in it, I was really feeling like I was like, no, you need to look into this more. And also starting to realize that as much as my work life is all kind of like, I think best known better, I love doing it. The rest of my life, not so much. I don't have like a lot of social life where I live. So I'm very detached at the moment in a way where it's very easy for me to pick up and go somewhere else and have a different adventure because I'm not really tied here at all, except for the work that I'm doing. So I'm starting to kind of process through some of these things. And I'm looking at this program. And as I'm looking at this program, I'm looking into scholarships and things because I was like, well, if I'm gonna go study abroad, I might need some like financial assistance, and how am I gonna figure this out? So I'm looking into that, and it led me to another program, which led me to a program at the University of St. Andrews, and I was like, this is the program that I want to do. This is like ideal, but it was 2 years, not 1 year. And I was like, oh, I don't know that I want to do 2 years, not 1 year. So I was like, okay, I guess that's not it. And so I moved on, but it was still in the back of my head. I had a hard time kind of just letting go of that one. So as I'm continuing to do more research, though, I'm on their site and I'm starting to look at like other degree programs. And I come across a program in intellectual history. And I was like, wait a minute, I've never heard of that before. So I'm looking at the program in intellectual history at St. Andrews, and it's only 1 year. So that was like, okay, that's wonderful. Cause that's what I'm looking for is I wasn't feeling quite settled about the whole 2 years thing, but also the entire thing is specifically on the history of thought. And it involves culture and things like that too, not just philosophy, which all is exactly in the vein that I was looking to do and looking to integrate into my literature classes. So that's where God led me. And I looked at a couple of other courses too in intellectual history, just because I was like, well, let me broaden my horizons a little bit. There's not really any in the US, but even if I decided to go to the US, I was like, I could go to North Carolina or I could go to Scotland. Either way, I'm leaving home and it's for a year, and it's, you know, I might as well have the really fun adventure at the same
adventure,
time.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, and we went, and my parents and I went and toured a couple of different universities in the UK in November. And one of the questions that we had when we're looking at that was just, okay, well, what does community look like if you're going to move abroad? You need to be able to settle into a community. And as a master's student, that looks a little bit different in a lot of universities than if you're an undergraduate student. A lot of times, master's students, graduate students live off campus. Their life isn't really at the university in the same way. But when we went to St. Andrews, it was very clear immediately that they have like a thriving graduate community there. They have a lot of international students. So I wouldn't be the only international student, which is great. They have like, yeah, their whole community is international students, which also means that they tend to stay on campus and they tend to have really good community and a lot of events and things going on. So that was very confirming as well. So I applied and got accepted within like 2 days, which was incredible. So yeah. That's the plan going forward.
And so that will happen this fall. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back as you told this story. Is what excited you as, you know, you've been doing your master's in literature, which we heard last time, you know, got led into that. And you said you enjoyed teaching and you did enjoy literature. What excited you to add this, what at the moment you said philosophy, to that experience? What excited you about that?
Well, as I was sitting in classes and teaching, I had these ideas, like I was talking about before, with integrating philosophy and literature, and that was really exciting for me. But as I've been teaching, I've also been noticing that, you know, there's a huge lack of critical thinking skills in a lot of students today. And that's the case in public school, as a lot of people talk about, but it's also the case in the homeschool communities that I'm stepping into. I'm finding that, a lot of people today will be saying, like in the public school, they're indoctrinating kids and things like that, which they 100% totally do. But I'm finding that with the homeschool kids, a lot of them are indoctrinated too. It's just indoctrinated with better ideas, you know? So they're indoctrinated with, you know, Christian ideas, with, you know, different, more healthy things, but they're still just pretty much, okay, this is what you're supposed to believe. And so that's why I believe it. You know, I have even had conversations between kids in my class where maybe somebody presents a different idea than somebody else. And they're like, well, why do you think that? And the kid responds, well, that's what my parents told me. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm seeing this kind of unfold and I'm thinking about integrating philosophy and literature. And I see a huge need. But it also really excites me to start helping these kids like think through different things. And I think that philosophy is really key for that because it does two things. One, like I said, I think it might have been on the last episode or maybe it was today, but earlier, philosophy really helps start to dig into different worldviews in secular thought. So you start to find where these different ideas come from and how they compare to Christianity. And you start to think through those things. But studying philosophy also helps you learn to ask really good questions. And so by doing those things, you start to have to think through these things and start to have to develop critical thinking skills. And it's not usually one straight answer. And then we found that even in class, like we will, because I've already started integrating, asking them questions weekly. We'll just do like an icebreaker type question. It's not really an icebreaker. It's a philosophical question. But like, for example, recently we did the question, well, what is art? And so we'll have this conversation of, okay, what is art? And they'll be like, well, you know, it's, you have to have intent and purpose in art. I'm like, well, what if I stuck this banana on the wall and I put a lot of intent and purpose into that? Is that art? And they're like, well, no. And so we have this long discussion and it's not that there isn't an answer, but we're not necessarily going to get to the answer in one, you know, 10-minute conversation. But it gets the wheels to start turning. Okay, let's start thinking about these things. Like, what is true about this? And so I'd love to start doing more of that. And that just really excites me. In stepping into philosophy is just trying to find ways to just help move education forward and help bring critical thinking into the classroom. And yeah, so.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, you know, description of it. And we kind of try to teach people that about seeking God's will is mm-hmm. What do you receive as truth? Where does that land? Are you confirmed in that? And it's okay to say, you know what, I'm not sure about that. Or mm-hmm. I think this way, is that really true? And we actually encourage people to do what you're suggesting is take your curiosity and kind of compare that to on what basis do I know this to be true? Is it true? You know what, I'm not sure it is true. And see, we say go the other direction, not just say accept it. Okay, fine.
Right. Mm-hmm. God is not afraid of our questions.
Yeah.
But rather, let's go pursue it, because it doesn't resonate yet with me. And so I do believe, particularly my experience is with people in general, and then particularly younger people, is they haven't developed that thought of, I mean, it's okay for me to wonder, and if I question something, is that a good thing to do? And what you're being led by God is to say, yeah, it's a good thing to do. And I'm going to work with you to develop a way of bringing that into what I'm going to have you develop later as a curriculum that you will somewhere teach in either, you know, grade mm-hmm. school, high school, college, you know, that you're going to bring something to it. So it's really pretty beautiful. As you were now starting to understand that, you know, when you came across that curriculum at St. Andrews, I bet that was surprising to you.
Yeah.
Because that's really what you had in mind. And then he said, actually, we have one that kind of helps you learn that.
Yeah.
That must have been exciting. And then you said you then pursued other options. What other schools were you looking at when you said, okay, England seems to have these curriculums. What other schools had those curriculums or similar curriculums?
There were a few. The one particularly that I was looking at was Oxford. I think also the University of Edinburgh had one. There were a few that I looked at online, but the only other one that I went and looked at in person and spent more time on was Oxford.
Okay. So you started to, and this is how God reveals his will, is, yeah, your thinking is right here. Pay attention. I am leading you. Yeah, but I want to do it online. And he said, well, would you be open to something different? You know, maybe in person. And the neat thing that you're sharing is that you weren't already, well, no, I'm only going to do it online. By the way, if that's what you said, see, we can thwart God's will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I only do it if. And God says, I may have a different answer for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and you started to say, okay, I'd be willing to look at that. And then, of course, he started to share with you the beauty of that. So, okay, I'm going to look at online or in-person places. Hey, UK seems to have, particularly St. Andrews. When you took the trip with your mom and dad, how did you approach that for God to speak to you? Because you're looking for, where do you want me?
Yeah.
How did you approach that, and what did you discover as you did personally visit Oxford and St. Andrews? How did you understand that God said, where I really want you is St. Andrews?
Yeah, well, we went and toured them. Had a few questions on the back of my mind, but for the most part, it was just, you know, I'm open. Let's just kind of see what these places are about. It's very different going and experiencing a campus, and I even experienced this in looking for schools for my undergraduate. It's very different being there than just looking online and, okay, what kind of atmosphere are we looking at here and things like that. So we just went, and it just became really, really clear, really fast. The people at St. Andrews were just so welcoming and so friendly. And so we got like a whole tour of the city. We talked, it's not really a city, it's a town, a whole tour of the town. And we talked with like another graduate student, and it was just, it was really fun and it was really open. And when we went to Oxford, they wouldn't even let us in. Well, you can walk around the grounds, but we don't really do tours and anything, which is fine. Like, that's their process. I think that they have open days and things that I couldn't go to, but it just felt very closed off, which, again, that's, you know, for, might just be like, this is the way that they run their school. But for me, it was just feeling of just not very welcome, but also it just felt really high pressure. And one of the things that I was wrestling with as I was there is like, okay, well, do I really want to be in such a high pressure environment? Like, just because you can do one thing doesn't mean that it's the best mm-hmm. situation. And so St. Andrews actually offers a bit of a balance there, where it's like, for me, I love academics, and I went to Liberty, which is great school, but not like, it doesn't have the same rigorous academics as some of these other schools that you might look at. And so that's something that I actually really value, but I really felt like St. Andrews struck the balance between, we're going to have really rigorous academics. We're going to take this very seriously. We're going to really dig in, but the atmosphere is just a little bit lighter, a little bit friendlier. It's not so much like, this is the end all be all.
Which honestly then aligns with what he was telling you before, when you were, you know, yeah. Your life is very full, but it's very full simply with work right now. And I have a bigger picture for you.
Right.
And yeah. So that information helped you to differentiate, I believe, in this situation. I need a bigger picture.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you're settled. God confirmed it. Your parents confirmed it. You're going to St. Andrews, which will be, it's one of those, you know, again, it's thank you for that answer.
Yeah.
But remember, it's a path, not a destination. So now that you're here, it's like, well, this ought to be interesting. You're going to have all kinds of other questions now that, you know, now that you're there. So it's not the end all. It's actually the beginning of it. As you get ready to go there, have you already understood, you know, what do they do for you for housing? How does all that work to, you know, because you're going to go over there in September now. Do you already have that stuff unknown and...
Not officially set up or anything, but they guarantee on-campus housing. Well, it's all kind of integrated, the campus and the town, but they have university housing guaranteed for international students. So I'll be living in university housing. I attended an online seminar about that, which was really great, because they apparently do all kinds of things to match you with the people that you live with. So you fill out like a form, this is the kind of living situation that I'm looking for. But then they'll also match you with like people who are roughly your age. And so they seem very intentional about sorting that out, which is great, because I'm not really super keen on going back to like hall life like in college, but it's set up a little bit differently. So, you know, I'll have my own room, I'll be with other graduate students. So it seems like it's going to work out really, really nicely.
That's great. Can I ask a question back to the school, actually,
yeah.
To Alethea? So it can be really hard for people when they see God giving them a new opportunity, and yet he's spoken over this old opportunity, and you know, his hand was moving in that. And so you're having to let go a little bit of that to be able to follow where God is leading you now. Yet he has an intention with that. So I'm wondering if you can share a little bit, if you have seen yet, or if you guys are still praying ahead, how he is working both sides of that equation. Because if he is calling you elsewhere, he is also calling for another plan for how that school continues on.
Yeah, yeah, for
sure.
So what
does that look like as you step away?
Yeah.
Like, who will lead your classes, or do we know this yet?
Yeah, yeah, we do. It's actually really interesting that you brought that up, because that was like the number one thing that made me doubt, you know, whether or not I was going to go. Because like I said before, you know, I don't really have a whole lot of ties to where I am right now. So it's pretty easy for me to just, okay, I'm just going to move my life. But it was very difficult to say, I'm going to step away from my students for a year for both Alethea, but also for my piano students, because I've been working with them and I'm seeing them grow like exponentially. And it's been really incredible to see that. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to stop that for a year. It's actually harder for the piano students because there's not really another piano teacher in my area. Most of my students came to me and were like, we've been looking for a piano teacher for years. There's just not really another option. So for them, it pretty much means that, you know, they just stop for a year. So I did definitely wrestle with that. But I, at the end of the day, just really felt like God was calling me to step into something bigger. And I was really like sitting and feeling like I have the choice right now between something that's really good and something that's really grand. And I feel like God is calling me to step into the grand, and he has something more for me there, even beyond just the year at St. Andrews.
Right.
So I don't know exactly what that is yet, but I'm looking forward to what God has in store for me after that. To answer your question, my mom is actually going to step into teaching some of my classes. So we have a really great little setup that we've talked about where I'm going to basically do all the curriculum prep over the summer, which I really enjoy doing. I love doing that. And it'll set her up well so that she can teach the classes, but it's not a huge burden for her to add to life. I was actually kind of funny. We were talking this morning even about, you know, okay, well, we don't really know yet whether or not I'll like be coming back after St. Andrews. I'm probably unless, you know, God leads me elsewhere, but I don't want to jump ahead of that. And so, you know, there's no guarantee of where God's going to lead me next.
That's right.
But even if I do end up coming back, she was like, well, maybe I'll continue, you know, teaching a middle school literature class and you can take on the high school literature. I'll teach middle school literature. So it's funny because she's been saying for the last year, oh, I don't really want, you know, I'm over teaching. I just want to do the resource center side of things. I want to do like talk to parents and things like that. But this morning she was like, oh, actually, I might continue teaching. So it'll be kind of cool to see how God uses that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's always working both sides of that equation. If he's calling you on to something else and his will is still for this to go, he will provide.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, for sure. And she's always been a teacher. She's taught in a lot of different capacities. So I definitely think that that's a gifting of hers. So it'll be cool to see how God uses it.
That's great.
Yeah.
That'll be exciting, you know, because you've talked about, you know, and Kathy, you've mentioned the bigger story is that, you know, I'm going to teach you something that's really important for you, because I believe what I've actually received in the prophetic for that is that you are going to be part of a very unique new curriculum. And you're going to bring it because you're learning it and you're going to go give it away and bring it. And I believe it's going to be spectacular. He also said, I want to bring you community.
Yeah.
That you are missing right now. And I want to bring that to you. That's going to have implication. So the exciting piece of it will be your enjoyment of that, one. And then two, as you graduate, which will be a year later, where will he place you?
Yeah.
And by the way, with, and I believe, by the way, it'll be this very creative, unique thing that he's developing for you, which will be truly a one-time situation where people, you're not going to go to a school where you're just going to go and teach what they already teach. You're going to bring a new teaching. So that'll be fun. And then two is that I believe that he'll continue your community and have that be, because I think you'll recognize how significant that is for your own life and not to go back into a isolated place. Catherine, thank you so much for sharing. We see, Kathy and I see the excitement in your heart and your joy and how fun this has been. And you're just at the very beginning of a true adventure because you don't really know where it's going to go. And you can't, you know, and you won't know until you go on the adventure, you know. And so may we just pray over that. Father, we thank you for her heart to receive, to be able to let you work both sides of this and to take her where you have her next. You're building something special, grand, as she spoke. And I pray for that grand, for it to be a grand experience. And then for the next after that to be a grand experience. And we just pray blessing for her to enjoy thoroughly all that you're about ready to do, to step into it with the same enthusiasm she has now, and that she will see as you start to pull this together what you're up to. And we'll be excited to have her back and to have her share where did it go. And we praise you and thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks so much for sharing, Catherine. It was a joy just to hear what God's doing in your life and through you. So thanks again. Listeners, thanks for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.